man. Drop your pick.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the soul of man? Oh, you rescued the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper, Spirit, we long your embrace. You gave us hope when our hearts had hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You gave the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You gave the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You gave the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Now we hunger, don't we?
Don't that message make you want to just be an old milk cow? He said, just want to be an old milk cow. Just pulling the ark. Oh, just pulling the ark. Brother Mike Walker. Mike, looking forward to this message. Lord bless your heart. Brother Mike Walker.
I'm so glad that Paul listened to Mindy. That was amazing, wasn't it? As they were singing that song, I couldn't help but think, wonder what them Philistines were thinking. You know, they're sitting there watching it. The whole time they think there's nothing to that God. Wait a minute. They're leaving their young ones? What's going on here? This thing's not by chance. It's on purpose. You think about all that. God's in control of all that. What a great God we serve. I can tell you, I wouldn't have took a million worlds for what we've had this weekend. I would not have missed that for nothing. I remember Mindy telling me about that message years ago, and I listened to it. And I listened to it on tape. Man, it's great. But there's no substitute by sitting with God's people. It's like us yesterday over at Bruce's house. We just sit there and we just fellowship. We just rejoice. That's what we're doing this morning around Him. Joe, thank you for your hospitality. Bruce, just I can't tell how much I appreciate you. Thank you for asking this old boy from North Carolina to come and spend some time with y'all. It's been my privilege. And Paul so much. And me and Dee, I've enjoyed it so much. Enjoyed it. And I enjoy my wife traveling with me. I appreciate her. She's a blessing. We was talking earlier about, you know, some of us ain't real good with computers. And, you know, they said, Bruce said somebody made him an icon. I said, Sandy's my icon. You know, everybody says they have a GPS. She's my GPS. Go places with Sandy. You know, I'm glad we can laugh and go on. We don't have to be sad all the time. What we have to be sad about? Alice, what do you have to be sad about? Nothing. 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 Fear not. You know, I'm just sitting there thinking, it's amazing how each message is just tied right in together. I think only God can do that. I don't know what he's going to speak on. I don't know who he's going to speak about. But I don't know what part of the book he's going from. He don't, me either. Now, sometimes we'll ask each other, but the Lord does that. He just brings our thoughts back to him. And that's what it's about. And only he can do that. Like I said the other night, we want to worship God, but you can't make yourself worship God. That's an impossibility. It's just an impossibility. Well, he can. You come in here and he enables you. You come in here and some of y'all traveled a long ways and your body's just tired and wore out. And you come in here and you leave and go, man, I ain't tired anymore. I may be in about 30 or 45 minutes later, but at that moment, it's just like you lay down and slept and rested, and that's what you did. Because all the time, we working. Let's just be honest. We working against the soul flesh. Man, I can rest. I can rest. Open your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 18. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Think, but what does it mean to comprehend something? It means to understand it. The darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world that he created. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. What is that saying? That is saying that the creature did not know the creator. That's what it's saying. He came into his own, Israel. And his own believed him not, received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. Well, why did they believe and others not? Why did they believe and others don't comprehend? He tells us right here, which were born not of blood. You didn't inherit it from your parents. Not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, your will or anybody else's will, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Don't you notice this in verse 18? No man has seen God at any time. God is a spirit. That's what he said in John 4. God is a spirit, and those that worship him in spirit and in truth. Nobody has seen God the Father in, he's a spirit. That's what he's saying. Well, who created everything? Jesus Christ did. God the Son. He's the Word. He's the written Word. He's the manifested Word. He's God, but he's Christ. He's the second person of the Godhead. Why do you think in schools that they are so set on denying creation? To rob Christ of his glory. That's exactly why. That's right. All things were made by him. By who? By Christ. The Word. I'm not trying to separate the Godhead, but I want you to understand this. He just said, no man has seen God at any time. No man. No man. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That word declared means to unfold. And that's what he does. You see something that's just folded up, he unfolds it. God manifests himself. Now listen, I have about three or four points. He manifests himself in creation as God that is above us. God manifests himself in providence as a God that is outside of us. And God manifests himself in the law as a God that is against us. But then God manifests himself in Christ as a God come down with us and for his people. You see what I'm saying? And it's in these verses. He talks about that he made. He came into his own. And they didn't understand him. They didn't comprehend the creature. Don't understand the creator. Why doesn't he? We know it's the fall. So the first thing, God manifests himself in creation. We're going to eventually get to the law. And I didn't look it up, but can you imagine how long it was from God in the garden till the time that God gave the law at Sinai? It's a long time. I know from Adam to Abraham was 2,000 years. You think from Abraham to the time God gave the law, well, they were in Egypt 400 years. It's been a long time. Well, what about all those people who didn't have the law? And God only gave the law to Israel. Well, what about the rest of them? What about the rest of those people? What about the rest of God's creation? How does God manifest himself to them? In creation. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. Verse 1. What did we read in John 1:18? No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And what does it say here in Psalms 19:1? The heavens do what? The heavens do what? Declare. the glory of God. And the firmament showeth His handiwork. I do some woodworking. I do, and I'm not much. People would, I guess, refer to me as a wood butcher instead of somebody with handiwork. Handiwork is that guy that can make that guitar. That's handiwork. You look at that and you go, man, somebody made this. So, you know what that is? It's His handiwork. God in creation reveals, you know what He reveals? His marvelous handiwork. His name is stamped on it. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. It's like it's speaking. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. God speaks. He's speaking. You can say, does God speak incorrect? That's what He's saying. Whatever language it is, they understand, and God speaks in their language. Isn't that amazing what He did on the day of Pentecost? They said, every man hears in his own language. Well, whether he's German or whatever it is, when he sees that sun come up in the morning, God's saying, I'm God. That's what He's saying. I'm God. The line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. Unless you have forgotten, this earth that we live on, it revolves around the sun, not vice versa. The sun does not revolve around us. We revolve around Him. He does not get His life from us. We get our life from Him. You say, well, everybody knows that. No, they don't. Do they? You say, well, why in the world, God, why did He make creation like He did? To reveal His glory. His handiwork. What amazing. Me and Sandy was coming up the road the other evening, and it was, the timing was perfect. The sun had just went down, and we're headed toward the west. Man, that sky was orange, and I just want to pull off beside the road. And yeah, you say, my father did that. He might have done it just for me. This is my Father's world. I mean, why did God design it that way? So that all creation, they see it. And He speaks and He says, I'm God. I'm God. He manifests Himself. He said it's like which is as a bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? Christ. Coming out of His chamber, and He rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. In creation. And Paul quoted part of Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. What is God like? What is His attributes? We've never saw Him. What's this God like? What's this God like that created all this? Does He reveal that? Yeah, He reveals that too. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And what is His wrath revealed against? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. They suppress it. You know what they say? That's not the truth. Oh, yes, it is the truth. But they don't like the truth. They don't comprehend the truth. And they try to suppress the truth. Now, don't you listen to this. Verse 19, if you want to turn there, Romans 1, 19. Because that which may be known of God is not manifest to them, it says it is manifest in them. It is manifest in them because God gave every man that He ever created a knowledge of good and evil. And that conscience, the soul of man, that conscience, is it will live forever. God made man in His own image. And when God breathed into his nostrils the bread of life, he became a living soul. And that soul, like God, is eternal. It will never die. He'll live in one or two places. And God gave that man a conscience. And what does that conscience say? There's a God. There's a God. And you're a sinner. You're a sinner. And God deserves to be served and to bow to. And we say, no, 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 we don't want that. But it's revealed because that which may be known of God. What's known of God? Is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. Who showed it? The one that created all things did. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that everybody that ever has ever lived or ever will live is without an excuse. They won't be able to stand before God and they can't say, well, I didn't know you existed. No, you did. The problem is you didn't like it. You don't like it that I am God. Because that when they knew God, what did that say? When they knew God. Everybody knows God. That's right. They knew God. Now, they don't know Him in a saving relationship, but they know Him. They glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful that He is God. They're not thankful. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart is darkened. God Himself is invisible, but His power, His majesty, and His glory shines forth in the things which He's made. We see it. And they see it. I'm talking about lost men see it. They see it. God shows it. They just don't like it. In creation, all men behold a Creator that is beyond and above us. And men glorify Him not as the Creator. That is why they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. You understand that? You see? Isn't that right? That's why it says in Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. You can't change the Word of God. That word change means you exchange it for a fable, for a lie. And they worship and serve who? The creature. I made myself. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. God didn't make me, I did. I might have just evolved from some little germ or whatever, but I've made myself. Look what I've evolved to, and God serves me. All men without Christ, that's what they believe. And that's what you believed. It's not that you didn't know God. You did know God. You just didn't like it. It's my free will. It's what I can do. I control God because I'm sovereign. No, you're not. He is. You see the picture? They do know. Did Adam know? Oh, yes. You think he told Cain and Abel? Oh, yes. He preached the gospel to those boys. Then Cain killed Abel, and what was this over? Because Cain thought he's God. That's right. And God wouldn't bow to him, and it made him mad. But then the Lord raised up Seth. And from them two men, you have those who believe and those who don't. And they were all taught. And they're taught in creation. They just said, no, we just won't have it. You know what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And everything in this world is geared to get you to not think about Him and to think about you. Why, you say, preacher, why is this world in such a mess? Men think that they are God. And God lets them know, in no uncertain terms, that they're not God. And that's what leads us to the next point. God manifests Himself in providence as God outside of us. You say, what do you mean by providence? God didn't just say, well, I'm going to create a world, and I'm going to spin it into orbit, and I'm just going to step back and just leave it alone. Oh no. It only spins on its axis, whatever the degree is, because that's what God decrees. What does that mean, providence? It's God overruling everything that He created. He's the Lord of Sabaoth. He's the Lord of hosts. He's over everything. He's over every demon of hell. He's over Satan. He's over the world. He's even sovereign over men. And God speaks in providence. You say, well, how do you mean He speaks in providence? The wind blows where it will. As I think about this, I think about those people in Florida right now. That's horrible. That could be us. That hurricane come in, and you know, just till it decided where God wanted it to go, they had no clue. They think, well, this is where we think it might go. And what is God saying? You're not God. Isn't that what He's saying? Is that not providence? He said, well, I think it just moves by chance. Oh, is that what you believe in? You think you can control that storm? Okay, you try it. You know where it's going? You know where it's going? I know exactly where it's going. Wherever God decreed for it to go. And if He sent it, He had a reason for it. They may not bow to Him, but they can't deny that it's God and God sent it. Cindy said she read something the other day that somebody said, well, where was God in Harvey and what's this one's name? Irma. Where's God? That's exactly where He's at. He's in the eye of the storm. We understand it, but they may not bow to it, but they can't deny that He's God. They may try to. Now, you know what God said? God is saying something in all this. God said something when He sent Harvey. God said something when He sent this. You know what He said? I am God! And He speaks loud. He speaks a lot louder than I try to do. Doesn't He? You know how He speaks? He speaks in a still small voice. He don't have to scream. That's right. He don't have to scream. He'll get their attention. And I tell you this. And until God gets their attention, they'll perish. You know what I pray? Lord, thank You. I pray, Lord, You use that to open up their eyes. You know, you see all these people on TV, they pray and they pray. Well, what about all the other times? I pray that they fall on their face and beg God for mercy. God, spare me. God controls all things. He said, I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient time, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I'll do all my pleasure. He said, does God rule providence? Oh, yeah. You know what he told Pharaoh? He said, for this same purpose have I raised you up, that my eye might display my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout the whole earth. 40 years later, maybe a little longer, when they come to Jericho, you know what Rahab the harlot said? We've heard what your God did to Pharaoh. You don't see providence?
How are children of Israel going to get through the Red Sea? I guess they're going to will it. I mean, that's about how funny that would be, wouldn't it? And God said, you stand here and you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. You mean God would roll back the Red Sea? And you know, and that's why they said, oh, it was just the Reed Sea. And they just walked through on ankle deep water. Well, if that's the case, he drowned that whole army in ankle deep water. That's a bigger miracle. Right? I mean, what are you going to do? God did this. God did it. Is that not providence? God made the sea and he can roll it back. He don't ask the... Now, sea, would you let me roll you back? God speaks and he manifests himself in providence. And he speaks through it. Can you see them children of Israel? They walk through on dry ground. They're going, oh my goodness. Why would God do this? Because God has a people, that's why. That's why. Providence is his God bringing all things to pass to accomplish his sovereign will. God rules the whole universe, and he can even bring to pass the lining up of planets for a solar eclipse for his own glory. I know this from experience. I don't know if the young man ever heard. This man, young man lived in California. Well, he still lives there. He planned 4 years ago, he told his mother that he wanted to come to this area and go to Kentucky, one of those places down there in Kentucky, to see that eclipse. 4 years ago, he planned it. And because he planned that, they made their trip, and they did in other places. But you know that boy wound up at our church? What's the odds of that? He wasn't planning on coming to our church. He wasn't planning on hearing the gospel. You think God would do that? And you say, well, how they knew that 4 years ago, I don't know. But they didn't control it. God did. Do you think God would line up planets to save one of his elect? Is that not providence? I stood back and I seen it and I go, oh my goodness. You know, I still stand amazed. But God spoke to me through it, and then people stand. And you know, for a few moments, everybody's looking at what? The sun. Isn't that right? They ain't looking at the moon. All God has to do is just will it. But he uses providence. Isn't it amazing? You're saved because of providence. You're saved because God arranged it in such a way. He did. You want to see providence? God allowed the Philistines to take the ark. And I asked Paul, and I don't know the answer to it, why didn't God kill them when they touched it? You can answer that, let me know. But he did, didn't he? I know why he allowed it, just so they could bring it into their temple. And Dagon's going to fall on his face before God. For a little while, they had Christ in their midst. Didn't they? You think about that. That's sobering. And a man is responsible for the light he has and for the light he could have had. God gives him light in creation and God gives him light in providence. And then God manifests himself in his holy law. What is God like? God manifests himself as a God that is against us. Turn with me to, I'm going to show you this in Exodus chapter 20. I know there's the moral law and the ceremonial law. But here when God begins to give the Ten Commandments, which consummates all the law of God. In Exodus 20, verse 1, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. And what's the first thing God says? Thou shalt have no other God before me. Isn't that it? You shall not have any other God before me. In the garden, you know what Adam wanted to be? He wanted to be his own God. You are not God. Don't have any other God before me. And it says in verse 18 of Exodus 20, and all the people, they saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. God is holy. And God demands perfection. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. It said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18, for you've not come into the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, it entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. They couldn't what? They couldn't endure it. Can I tell you a little secret? You couldn't stand to hear and stand in the presence of a holy God and hear his law. You couldn't stand it. You could not stand to hear how bad you are. You couldn't stand it. That's what God says about you. And to see that in the light of a holy God, that's terrifying. It's terrifying. And rightfully so. He's God and we're not. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned and thrust through with the dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quaked. It scared me to death. If the law ever comes to you like it did Paul, Paul thought he kept the law. But when the law came, sin revived and I died. And the law revealed the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And if it ever comes, I heard something your pastor said, and it really spoke to my heart. He said one time there for years, he said all he ever saw was the bad side of God. And all the world says is, God is love. God loves everybody. And they like to put bumper stickers on the back of the car, smile, God loves you. What good would have that have done when God destroyed this earth in the times of the flood to put that bumper sticker on the back of that ark and said, smile everybody, God loves you. All those people are dying under the wrath of Almighty God. Will God punish sin? Oh yeah. But Moses could have put it on the inside of the ark, and Noah could have got up every morning and looked up and said, smile, God loves me. But they don't know anything about God's wrath. And I can tell you, God can reveal his wrath in a storm. And he does. And what God said, I'm holy. Will God punish sin? Ask him in the days of Noah. Will God punish sin? Ask Korah and Dathan. Ask those that lived in Sodom. Will God punish sin? Will God punish sin? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You don't want anything to do with a God apart from Jesus Christ. You don't. So why in the world would anybody want to live under the law? You that desire to be under the law, do you not hear what God says through the law? All the law can say to you is you were a guilty, no good sinner and you deserve to die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's it. God is perfect. The law of God is terrifying. When the law came, sin revived and I died. The law will kill you and will condemn you. It will pronounce you guilty. It shows no mercy. It's the sword of God's justice. The strictness of God's law. God wouldn't spare His own Son. I told him at church a couple of weeks ago, I said, would you offer up your child for your worst enemy? And none of us would. He did. That's the strictness of God's law. He would not bend His law for His own Son. But you know, I said, but what about all those others who didn't have the law? It's like he said, God gave the law to who? To the Jews. Or what about everybody else? When they do by nature the things contained in the law, they are a law unto themselves. Why do you think those people over in Africa, if you want to call them third world countries or whatever, they still worship something? When before we came over here and drove the Indians out, they believed in what? That great spirit, didn't they? Well, where did they get that from? And they thought they had to do something like those Philistines did to appease that spirit. When Paul came to Athens, he said, you've got all these altars, all these sacrifices. And he said, you've got this one over here. It says to the unknown God. Well, why do people believe that?
Because God's revealed it to them. The law is on their hearts.
You know what man's trying to do in religion? He's trying to ease that gnawing conscience that says, it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. And God's against me. Yes, He is against me. And I'm against Him. I don't want Him reigning over me. That's the way the flesh is. But then Christ manifests God to us. A virgin shall be with child, and you shall call His name Emmanuel, God. And you think about this. I think many times we just get in a hurry and read this. God. God with us. The God of creation, the God of providence, the God who gives His law, He's with us. You know what Solomon said? When Solomon's getting ready to dedicate the temple, he said in 1 Kings 8:27, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Oh yeah, He will. But he asked that, didn't he? Will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heavens of heaven cannot contain God. How much less this house that I've built? They look forward to the time when He would come. Abraham saw my day. You say, how will those people saved in the Old Testament? Same way you are. By grace, through faith, and it not of yourself, it's the gift of God. When God enables you to believe and look to Christ. And here He comes. God, who cannot be seen, is now manifest, and we can see Him. God, who won't allow you to touch Him. God killed a man for touching the ark, and Christ allowed lepers to touch Him. God with us. When He took upon Himself that union of God and human flesh, it is a union that is never reversed. And that's my only hope. I can't get to God. And God, because He's holy, cannot have anything to do with me. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The law came by Moses. Oh, yes, it did. But what came with Christ? Grace. Yeah, God's a God of wrath. Is there no grace? Is there any mercy? There's mercy in one place. The mercy seat. That's the only place. That ark. Oh, you think about, how did Abraham worship without the ark? They all did up to that point, but they looked by faith. And then all this was God revealing Himself to us. That He's now, He's in an ark, He's the priest, He's the sacrifice, and the law is kept in the ark, it's kept in Christ. God, Christ manifested that. He put away the law, it's the end of the law. I'm not under the law, thank goodness. Thank goodness God's not against me. He's for me. Didn't merit it. I didn't earn it. It's grace. Grace. Well, God, if that leper touched that priest in the Old Testament, he was defiled. And God allowed sinners to touch him. That woman with the issue of blood in the Old Testament, she'd been defiled. She couldn't even come to the temple. And she presses, me and Fred was talking about this, she pressed through that crowd. And she touched him. You mean God would allow sinners like us to touch him? Yeah, because he touched us. He's able to be felt with the feelings of our infirmity. And how do we know that? God manifested Himself. He revealed it. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot. And He said, Lord, how is it that You will manifest Yourself unto us and not unto the world? And He did. And He does. Grace is when God manifests Himself to you in grace. Why in the world would God make Himself known to you? In mercy. And then the gospel, when it comes, like you said, in power, that's God telling you what He's already done. And you know what He says? I've loved you with an everlasting love. Best news a sinner ever heard. I don't deserve to be loved. If I did, it wouldn't be grace. And I thought about this. When Christ came, He looks like I said, He looks like any other man. Well, how are you going to know He's God? How are you going to know He's God? He lived for 30 years in obscurity. He did. But for 3.5 years, when He came out and revealed Himself, He showed that He's God. He turned water into wine. He restored a withered hand. He made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, and He raised the dead. Why did He do those things? To show us that He's God. He's God of creation. He's God over providence. He said, disciples, I want you to go over across the sea. And He went up into a mountain to pray, and they're in the ship alone. And a storm comes up. Who do you think caused the storm? Anybody? And then they're in the ship. And He's going to teach them something. Listen, everything that God allows to come into your life, He's doing it for a reason, to teach you something. Yes. And they're scared. They're scared to death, and we're terrified. And then they see Him. He's walking on the water. Who can do that? Only God. And when He come into the ship, there was a great He was sovereign over providence. Even when he was a babe. Herod wants to kill all the babies in Bethlehem. And he can't. You know why? Because God's done decreed he's got to go to Egypt. Because he said, from Egypt have I called my son. Over all things. He allowed blind Bartimaeus to be laying there. They brought him out there that day and laid him there beside the street just like they'd done every other day. But this day's a different day. Jesus is going to pass by. Who caused that to happen? He did. He did. And he manifested the law of God. He kept it perfectly. He said, think not I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. He satisfied all the demands of the law. The law said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And when God took all the sin of all the elect and put them on him and made him sin, he died in the place of his people. And that law that was against us is no longer against me. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, and he nailed it to the cross. Mercy is only found in Christ, the mercy seat. It's like that woman you said they brought her, somebody sung about. They brought her to our Lord. She's caught in the act of adultery. And they said, the law says she ought to die. And that's what the law said. I said, what do you say? Well, he just began to write on the ground. Just act like he ignored them. And they began to be condemned. He said, well, he that's without sin, you cast the first stone. And they were convicted of their own conscience. Of their own what? Conscience. And they begin to just walk away. And our Lord looks up and there's nobody there. And this is where he brings you. It's just you and him. And he says, where are your accusers? No man, Lord. He said, well, go in peace. Go and sin no. When Christ received that vinegar on that cross, he said, it's finished. And listen to me, child of God, it's finished. It's satisfied. And you know what he did? He revealed all this to us. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. Can I tell you something this morning? He delights to show mercy. He'd rather save you than damn you. His wrath, that's his strange work. You know, people are just terrified, and they ought to be. But there's mercy. Mercy. Do you need mercy? Well, come to him. Come to him. Apart from Christ, all we'll ever know apart from Christ is God's wrath. Now listen, in Ephesians 2 verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh and the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were all by nature the children of wrath even as others. And here's two precious words, but God. You better thank God one day if God ever butts into your life. But God. Who is rich in mercy. Mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. He manifest himself in creation as God that is above us. He manifest himself in providence as a God outside of us. He manifest himself in the law as a God against us. And he manifest himself in Christ as God with us. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's like you said. to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in that gospel, what gospel? We talk about Christ and what he came, who he came for. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. If you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ came into the world. Why did he come? Did he come to just try to do something? Why did he come? He came to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. And I know everybody perverts John 3:16, but it's still in our Bible. Listen to this as a sinner needing mercy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Thank goodness. You imagine if God came down to condemn us. But that the world through him might be saved.